Amen. Welcome to Sandals Church. My name is Pastor Matt. We're wrapping up our series the week before Easter weekend called The Good Life. And today I want to talk to you about how to experience the good life. You know, sometimes in your life, you're tired of hearing about good things in other people's lives. And it's not that you're a bad person. It's just that from time to time, you need a blessing. You need some good news. You need to experience the good life. Not just hear about it, but actually experience it. And so that's how we're going to wrap up this series. That's how we're going to literally begin the message today. How to experience the good life. Write this down. You got to learn to listen for the voice of God. You got to listen. God speaks. I know some of you are not Christians, and we want you to be at our church, and we want Sandals to be a church for Christians and people who are interested in Christianity. But listen to me. If you want God to speak, you need to believe that He speaks. You need to stop doubting your doubts and start believing your beliefs. You got to trust that God speaks to you, that God wants to speak to you, that God wants to reach you. You've got to listen for the voice of God. But here's the thing about the voice of God. It never comes in the package you think it's coming. Like, you know what an Amazon package is going to look like. Like, you have an idea of what that's going to look like. You can track it. You can follow it. You know when UPS is coming. But when it comes to God, He sends things in different packages. They don't always arrive on your time, but they do come on time. And here's my prayer for you, that you would learn to listen for the voice of God. And write this down. It's not a question, is God speaking? But it's always, am I listening? It's always, am I listening? And so today we're going to talk about a voice of God in the wilderness. A wild man, a crazy man, a man who spoke, a man who prepared the way for Jesus. That's what we're celebrating next weekend, Jesus. But John wasn't Jesus, but he prepared the way for Jesus. He was a voice from God. And I just want you to check your heart today. Are you ready to hear from God? Are you where you need to be? God's where He needs to be. God is speaking. Are you where you need to be? Are you ready to listen? Because sometimes when God speaks, it doesn't always come in the tone, right? No amens from ladies. My wife's always talking about my tone. I tell her, you're the queen of tone. It's not that I'm yelling. It's that I'm Italian. We're passionate people, right? No Italians in here. We're passionate people. We make pizza and yell. That's what we do. So some of you need to be prepared for the tone. Right? Children watch their tone. Our Father who is in heaven doesn't watch His tone. And He's going to speak directly to you. So in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. Strange place to start a church. In the wilderness. That's kind of odd, right? Like, if you're going to plant a church, John, maybe you should go to the city where people live. But you know, God doesn't always do things the way that we think things make sense. Sometimes He sends people to the wilderness because God is not only interested in Him speaking, but He's interested in those who want to hear. And those who want to hear need to be willing to walk. You need to be willing to move. You need to be willing to change. And so God sends John into the wilderness to begin his preaching. And his message was this. Repent of your sins. You want to know why every religion is honored in the world except Christianity? Because no other religion begins with this. It's a you problem. Oh, we want to talk about God's love, and that's great. And God does love you, but you stink. You smell. There's something wrong with you, and that's offensive. Who is God to tell me there's something wrong with me? God. That's who He is. And so John comes, and he preaches this message, repent of your sins and turn to God. He says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Man, we're so close, John says. We're so close. Something that has never happened is about to happen. We're so close. What's funny is John doesn't even know how close he is. He said, the prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is the voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Listen to me. Our world is getting more and more wild. I think it's time we start listening, because I think God is shouting in the wilderness. He's speaking again. Prepare a way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. What does that mean? It means make sure the road is in order. You see, when a Roman king came to town, you fixed the roads, not like our roads. Right? We got money for everything in America except roads. Amen? Like, if we're good at one thing, I think it's potholes. It rains like 2 times a year in Riverside, and we got potholes. I don't even understand how that's possible. It says, prepare a way for him. Clear the road for him. Listen to me. If you're not a Christian, here's what you need to understand about God. You need to get out of his way, because he's coming. And here's the problem is, a lot of times when you look at Christians to lead you to faith, they actually lead you away from faith because they're in the Lord's way. I think churches oftentimes block as many people from God as they lead to God. I actually had a person say this to me. You know what amazes me about Sandals Church is how easy you make Christianity to understand. And I just said, why is that shocking? People ask me, why do you preach out of the New Living Translation? Because it's easy to understand. And I want it to be as easy for you to understand as possible that you stink. And you need to get your life right with God. I don't want to have to translate the English. I want you to understand. Prepare a way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. And not only is he out in the wilderness, this is God. Just understand this. If you're ready to believe in God, God is so unlike anything you've ever imagined. Prepare a way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. And John's clothes were woven by Versace. John was dressed like an actor on the red carpet, ready to receive the award. No. John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair. Anybody ever touched a camel? I wanted to until I did. First time I went to the Middle East, I'm going to touch a camel. I'm going to ride a camel. I touched the camel. I never rode the camel. Camels are nasty animals. Nasty animals. They're not even honest about how much they drink. The hump. You'll get that on the way home. Okay. Camels are nasty. Like, if you want to watch something funny, YouTube camels biting people. You gotta love animal activists. They're all God's creatures. And then they get bit by a camel. Imagine what happened to your face, camel. He's dressed in camel hair. Have you ever smelled a camel? I don't know how you clean that. So John looks gross and smells what? Gross. And he's preaching to the trees. He's in the desert. He smells. Thank God he wore a leather belt, because it says nothing about underwear. Hey, you need to read your Bibles. God calls Isaiah to preach naked for a year. You gotta love God. See, read your Bibles. There's good stuff in there, I'm telling you. For the food he ate was locusts. He ate bugs. So now we know what he looks like. We know what he smells like. And now we know what his breath smells like. He eats bugs. I think this is where the term preacher breath comes from. If you ever talk to a preacher up close, we just have some, oh, I don't know what it is. It's locusts. I mean, I don't consider myself picky, but I have tried to eat a locust. Tammy and I were at a dinner in Cambodia, and Jesus says, whatever is presented for you, you must eat and thank God for it. I sinned. I am a sinner. And thank God Jesus Christ died for my disobedience, because when the bugs came past, and I'm not talking about, like, I could have done a cricket. I could, you know, just... This was like armor-plated, solid, still mad, not dead, right? Yeah. Cambodia, one of the greatest places on earth, bad food. He ate locusts. This is good, wild honey. Thank you, Lord, for that. Honey's good. But underline this, people from Jerusalem and from all Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. He stinks. He smells. His teeth look like the front of your car. Dead bugs. Yeah. But people don't care. Listen to me. People need God. They need God. And if we are just faithful to proclaim his word, the people will come. The people will come. People need to hear the word of the Lord. They will come. Don't you ever believe that God can't grow a church. If there was ever a church that should not grow, it was Sandals. I tell people, if I ever write a book, it will be How Not to Grow a Church. Because I didn't know what I was doing. Made every mistake there was, but God is faithful. He sends John out into the wilderness. He doesn't give him a clothing allowance. He doesn't bring manna from heaven like he did the Israelites. There's no quail, locusts, and some occasional honey. But people from Jerusalem and all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. Why? Because people need the word of God. And when they heard him, they confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. Right there, out there, in the middle of nowhere. And you got to know this. During the Roman times, it's not safe anywhere on the roads. You went out into the wilderness at your own peril. It was all on you. You put your own life at risk. And people did this over and over again to hear the Lord. Is it any wonder that Jesus said this? He said, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Some of you, you don't need a raise. You need a word. Some of you do not need a miracle, you need a word. Some of you do not need counseling, you need a word. Just a word. Just a word from God, and this will sustain you. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you know when he said that? When he was starving for 40 days. 40 days. Some of you can't fast through lunch. 40 days, Jesus didn't eat. What sustained him? The word. The word. Listen to me. We need a word from God. You need a word from God. It's what I pray for my kids. I don't want my kids to follow Jesus because of me. I want them to follow him because they heard his voice. Because they heard a word from the Lord. Because I know this, I never listened to my parents, but the second God spoke, I was like, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The good life comes from hearing a voice, a word from the Lord. Next, you want to live the good life? Don't ever fake your spiritual life. Don't. Don't ever fake it. Don't ever pretend. Don't ever get stuck in the motions. Don't ever just do church because what else are you going to do on that prescribed time? Don't just become a person of habit that forgets why you do what you do. Don't ever fake your spiritual life. And let me tell you this, it's not just the people who want a word from the Lord that come to the desert. It's also professional Jews who come to the desert to check this guy out, to see what's happening, to observe, to watch. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, you want to know one book John would never write? How to Influence and Win Friends. John didn't have that problem, but he was real. You can never accuse John of being fake. He tells us everything he feels. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees, that's like the Democrats and the Republicans, coming to watch him baptized, he denounced them. He said, "You brood of snakes." And I know, Sandals Church, we have some snakes lovers, which that's a little creepy, but that's fine. That's you. In the Bible, snakes are a bad thing. If you don't believe me, read Genesis 3. There's a talking snake. And it basically destroys the world. So when he calls them a brood of vipers, they understand that what he's using is he's using an animal as a negative description for who they are. He says, "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you of the coming wrath?" Underline this next sentence. He says, "Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." Listen to what John is saying. It doesn't matter what you say. What you do determines who you are. "Oh, but I got a tattoo on my forearm. Says, keep it real." So what do you think is going to happen on Judgment Day? Jesus is going to be like, "Check that out. It's a pretty cool tattoo. That's some cool ink. Keep it real." "Yeah, but I didn't know you. How's that for real?" "Oh, but I got a t-shirt." Right? "I wore a hat. I listen to Christian radio. I go to Sandals Church." It's amazing how we can lie to ourselves. People tell me this. "I go to Sandals Church. I love Sandals Church. I've been at Sandals Church from the beginning." "When'd you cut your hair?" "Yeah, you know what that means. Like 6 years ago, bro. Where you been?" We lie to ourselves all day long. Listen, don't ever fake your spiritual life. Don't fake it. Prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, underline this, "We're safe. We're good. Oh, when I was a kid, I made a decision. Or my dad was a pastor. Or I grew up in church." There's going to be a lot of people in hell who grew up in church. And we all know there's going to be a lot of pastor's kids that don't make it to heaven. Right? And I was going to be one of them. But I heard a voice from the Lord. Prove by the way that you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, "We're safe, for we're descendants of Abraham." Here's what they believe. Because of their ethnicity, right? I mean, you want to talk about racism? We're the chosen race. We're good. We can do whatever we want. We're Jews. He says this. That means what? Circle it. Nothing. No, it means nothing. Who are you? You know how we know who we are? By what we do. What we do shows who we are. You say, "Oh, well, I believe this." Okay. You think you believe that, but what you do actually shows what you believe. It's true. He says, "That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones." God can do anything, but he won't save people who fake it. He won't. Right? Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." What do lies do? They continue to keep you in prison. He says, "Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised." Whoa. Think about that language. Israel considered themselves the tree of God. That's what, one of the symbols was the olive tree. And here they are, God's chosen people. And John is saying, "Man, the axe is right at the base and it's ready to sever you guys from your calling." Listen to me. Every single one of you is called to follow God. Every single one of you is called to become a son or daughter of the king. But if you say no, the axe is already swinging. And it's severing us from God forever. He says, "Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." Listen, this is what John's saying. God's only going to water you for so long. He's only going to speak to you for so long. And eventually, he lets you have what you want, your life on your own without him. Jesus says this, "Outwardly, you look like righteous people. But inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." I want you to circle that word hypocrisy, because we don't use this word in English the way the Greeks used it. And the Bible, the New Testament, is written in Greek. And here's how we use the word hypocrite in English today. We call them actors. Actors. The word hypocrite is the word used in Greek plays. The actual word, when you get down to the core of its meaning, means mask wearer. And if you go to an old theater, it will have a painting of two things on the front of it, two masks, one smiling and one frowning, but both fake, both not real. But here's the thing. It's easy to understand that someone's fake when they're acting out a role. It's hard to figure out if someone's real in real life. It just is. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. So he says you're fake, and what does lawlessness mean? You do whatever you want. And that's just part of the human condition, right? We get mad when someone else speeds. We get mad when someone else blows the stop sign, but when we do it, I'm late. And so we give ourselves freebies. We give ourselves a pass to do whatever we want to do. Why? Because we don't actually believe what we say we believe. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Listen to me. Me standing here on stage and preaching to you does not make me a Christian. What makes me a Christian is when I'm home alone and I'm by myself and no one sees. That's who I really am. That's what I really am. That's the Matt Brown that needs Jesus. Right? It's easy to perform. It's easy to fake it. It's easy to pretend. John says, who warned you guys that the axe was at the root? I want you to notice, let's go back up to Matthew 3 and let's look at verse 7. It says, but when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to what? Do you circle the word? Watch. Some of us are good watchers, but we're not believers. Oh, we appreciate a good show. Maybe you can get a couple of truths, some practical things out of my messages. The music's good. What else are you going to do? You're here. Some of us are watchers. God doesn't call us to be watchers. He calls us to be participants. He calls us to join the family of God. He saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize people who are what? Getting real with God. Listen to me. Watching people get real with God is not you getting real with God. Do you know what's you getting real with God? You getting real with God. Next, write this down. I got to get right with God while I still have time. John says this, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. He said, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be a slave and carry his sandals. He's talking about Jesus. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's going to do something radical in your life. He's going to change your life. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. What's the chaff? It's like basically like hay, straw. It's nothing. It's valueless. The wheat is that little kernel that we make into bread that we all eat and can survive and get nutrition from. Here's what he says. The one who's coming is going to separate the fakers from the authentic followers. And he's ready. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with, underline these words, never-ending fire. I want you to circle this word, never-ending fire, especially if you're in construction or you've ever done home repair. It's an interesting word here in the Greek. You're going to crack up as soon as I say it. The word is asbestos. Right? Asbestos is bad news on earth, and it's bad news forever. And if you don't know what asbestos is, consider yourself blessed. It's an expensive problem to have. That's what asbestos is. It's a chemical retardant, fire retardant that people use for years in America until they found out it causes cancer. And then like, oops, You're not going to burn to death, but you are going to die. Our bad. Hell's going to be asbestos. It never ends. The fire never goes out. Next, I want to encourage you to enjoy the blessings of being obedient to God. This is the good life. This is the good life. I want you to know, and I want you to hear me. Tammy and I have been through many, many struggles, many, many trials, and many, many difficulties. The last 3 or 4 years of our life has been very sweet, very beautiful. We've been extraordinarily blessed. So blessed, I went to counseling to deal with it. Some of you, you don't know what to do if, like, persecution stops. You're like, I don't know what to do with all this joy. I'm freaking out. I need to see a shrink. I'm not kidding you. I had been in the battle for so long, I didn't know what to do with peace. My counselor said, you need a spiritual mentor. This is what the counselor said. I can't help you. Go, my son. So I went and got a spiritual mentor. And here's what my spiritual mentor said. He said, you don't know how to live in the blessing of God. He said, you've struggled, you've wrestled, and you've been faithful. You've been obedient, and now God is blessing you. I said, what do? He says, enjoy it. Enjoy it. So what am I saying to you? If you want to be blessed by God, be obedient. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how hard it is, because the Lord will honor his word and he blesses those who are faithful. He blesses them. Absolutely blesses them. He's blessing Tammy and I so much, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Every time I turn around, God just keeps blessing us. I'm not kidding you. Somebody gave me a Starbucks card, which is nice. Enjoy some coffee. I didn't open it. And then I did. It was $1,000. Yeah. So now I'm addicted to coffee. It's $1,000. I felt weird. I went back to the person. I was like, I thought it was like $10. I'm sorry. I didn't open it for months. What do you do with that? You're like, Pastor, take us to coffee. What do you do with that? Listen to me. If you want to live the good life, listen to John. Turn from your sins and turn to God. And if you hang in there, if you don't give up, God is going to bless you. And I am living proof that he blesses you and he will bless you. I'm telling you. He'll bless you. Literally this week, we're opening a campus that Tammy and I walked by. In our 700 square foot, 3-bedroom home, which is a joke. I wouldn't call them bedrooms. They were closets with beds in them. And we walked by this church. God, are we ever going to have something this big? That church was given to us this year. Given to us. You're golf clapping because you don't have to pay for it. Imagine. Listen to me, young couples. Imagine you're driving by your dream house. Oh, God, could we ever have something like this? And 20 years from now, after serving God, it's given to you. Here you go. There's an article this week in the Riverside Press Enterprise and in San Bernardino writing about what Samuel's Church is doing. And they're positive. I read the article. I was like, ah. Blessings. One of my friends on Twitter this week said, hey, does anybody know a great place to stay in Hawaii? And I texted him, yeah, stay here. Marriott texted me. Thank you. They tweeted me. Thank you. Marriott. Enjoy the blessing. Listen to me. Just start being obedient. And you say, well, we're old. We didn't start off obedient. Well, start now. You're not dead. You're not dead. Just listen to God. Repent. Turn from your sins and turn to God. God doesn't want to judge you. He wants to bless you. Enjoy the blessings of being obedient. Matthew 3:13. This is where the story just gets crazy. Hey, John. Yes, Lord. I want you to go into the wilderness and preach. God, there aren't any people in the wilderness. I know, John. You've got to get good. Okay, Lord. I'm going to go to the wilderness and preach. What should I wear? Don't worry about it. What am I going to eat? You'll get used to it. We got to toughen you up, John. John's faithful. John trusts God, and he says, man, I got this feeling inside. I don't know if I'm crazy or I heard from the Lord, but here's what I heard. The Messiah that they've been prophesying about for 1,000 years, I think he's coming. I know he's coming. I hope he's coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And all of a sudden, John's not out in the wilderness. Just being obedient, all of a sudden people start showing up, and more people, and more people, and pretty soon people are getting saved, and now he's being criticized. You know why? He's doing something. And then, this gets weird. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus went to Galilee, to the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. Can you imagine I'm preaching, and Jesus sits down right there? Right there. This guy's popcorn. This is going to be a good one. I heard about this guy. He's out in the wilderness. It's going to be good. Can you imagine? What do you do? Hey, sorry, I'm pretending you're Jesus. I know it's weird. But he's like, hey. What should I do if Jesus shows up? What do you do? Well, I've been thinking, Jesus, you're going to like point two. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. So what does John do? This is weird and awkward. And John, underline it, he tries to talk him out of it. Why? He's God. Why do you get baptized? For your sins. I'm not. Jesus, you don't stink. Underline it. He says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? Because you've been obedient, John. You've been preaching in the desert. Look at what you're wearing. John, you've been eating bugs. That's why. Listen to me. Some of you are eating bugs and you're ready to quit. Don't quit. Some of you are ready to hang it up. Ah, man, I'm done. Jesus is coming. Don't stop. Enjoy the blessings. He's going to bless you in ways that you will never imagine. When I proposed to Tammy, this is literally what I said. And I wish I didn't say this, but this is what I said. Are you ready to be poor for your entire life? I don't know why I said it. That's what I said. That was my pitch. It was so bad. I'm so grateful it was not recorded. Are you ready to be poor for your entire life? Are you ready to struggle forever in the name of Jesus? We'll probably be killed. Will you marry me? She still has nightmares about my proposal. But you know, God is good. And when you do what he says, he blesses you. Do you know why? Because he loves you, and you are his daughter or his son, and he is your dad. And it gives him great pleasure to bless his kids. That's what Jesus says. If you being evil, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in his heaven give gifts to you? He said, I'm the one that should be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, underline these words and never forget it. Never, ever forget these words. It should be done. Do you know how many Christians have lost their lives out of obedience to these words? It should be done. Do you know what baptism is? Baptism is a public wedding ceremony between you and God. You are publicly declaring to your friends and your family members that you are repenting of your sins, that you are turning from yourself and you are turning to God, and you want everyone you know to know. And Jesus said, it should be done. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ went public for you, and he's called you to go public for him. That's what we're to do. He said it should be done. Underline the next words. For we must carry out all that God requires. Whatever God calls us to do, we don't pray about it. We don't get in a small group. We just do it. There will be no committees in heaven. Thank God. We're just going to do what he says. He says it should be done. For we, circle the word we. He's including who? Himself. We should do all that the Lord requires. So John's like, okay, you got me there. Right? You can't win an argument with Jesus. So John's just like, fine. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water. I know some of you are in traditions where you sprinkle. The word baptize literally means to be dipped under. Do you know why the word baptize is in your Bibles? Because when it was translated into English, King James realized they weren't dipping people underwater. So he said, just leave it in the Greek. They won't ever know what it means. The word means to immerse. When you jump into a swimming pool, you don't sprinkle yourself. You are what? Immersed into the water. It's a picture of how much of you needs to be saved. A little bit or all of it. It's also a picture of your burial. Think of it like the cross. We are baptized, we are buried unto death with Christ, and we are raised to walk a new and awesome life. It's what it means. It's planting your flag in the sand and you're saying, God, I am on your team. As Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son, listen to this, who brings me great joy. If you've repented, if you've believed, you live for an audience of one, and your desire is to bring joy to God, and one of the ways you can do that is by publicly declaring your allegiance to him and being baptized. What an exchange. Jesus dies on a cross, you get dunked. Not bad. So why on earth was Jesus baptized if he never sinned? You know why? He's the perfect leader. He never asks us to do something that he is unwilling to do himself. And just so you know, that's how you tell a good leader from a bad one. A good leader, a great leader, always does what they're asking you to do. Peter replied, circle these three words, please. Each of you. Each of you. One translation, modern English translation, translates it this way, and I love it. It says, each of you must personally, and I like the emphasis on personally. You must decide. You must choose to follow God. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are called to repent of our sins, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are called to publicly announce our faith through baptism. There is no other means of identification with the body of Christ. And listen to me, we don't do this on our own. We do this with the church. Just like you don't get married on your own. I mean, who knows in our country? Maybe that'll be possible. I don't know. In the church, you're not supposed to get married on your own. You're not supposed to get baptized on your own. Because baptism is a symbol of you uniting not only with God, but with his family. Right? Love God, love one another. The cross connects us in two ways. I want you to circle the word repent. It's a Greek word that means metaneo. And it means, write this down, to change your mind, your attitude, and your actions. To be a Christian means we change our mind, we change our attitude, and we change our what? Our actions. Because it's an issue of the mind and of the heart and of behavior. This is what it means to follow God. Everything that I am is in or nothing's in. I'm fully committed. I'm fully bought in. I fully believe. Let me ask you this question. Do you need to repent of your sins? Do you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? And if the answer is yes, are you willing to be baptized? On April 21st and 22nd, we're going to have a huge baptism at our church. And I am giving you warning so you can invite your friends and your family members, and we can have a party at every single campus like we've never had. And we're going to celebrate Jesus and what he's done for you in your life. But there's one other challenge today before I close. Some of you have called yourselves Christians for decades, and you've never been obedient to the first step of following Jesus. And let me ask you this question. If you miss the first step, what else are you missing? Jesus said, listen to me, if you're a Christian and you've not been baptized, he said, it should be done. It should be done. I want to challenge every single one of you to be baptized in a public ceremony at Sandals Church to declare your faithfulness to God. If you've never done it, if you've done it, you don't need to do it again. It's just once. It's just once. But I want you to publicly declare your faith in Christ before God, our church, and your friends. And you need to do it because Christ asked us to. He was baptized on a cross. You'll be baptized in a tub of water. I think we're good, amen? I think we're good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just pray, Lord, that we would begin to experience the good life today by being obedient to you. Lord, baptism is essential. It's the first step of obedience. It's the first thing that you call us to, Lord, as followers of Christ. And God, for those of us who are Christians, let us just offer our apology. Let us repent of our unwillingness to make it happen. God, let us not offer up any excuses because we have none. You were baptized and you didn't even need to be. But you called us to be baptized as a symbol of our forgiveness, as a symbol of our faithfulness, as a symbol of us following you. And for Lord Jesus, for those who do not yet know you, but Lord, are ready to believe, are ready to trust, know desperately that something about their mind, attitude, and action needs to change. Let them take the first step and come forward for prayer and talk about what it means to be a follower of you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.